Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is The Drive on KFH.
Welcome back. Hour number two. We have filled the field for the World Series of Faceoff. It begins Monday right here with four first-round matches Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. Then we move into the second round the following week, and the quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals out at Side Pockets in West Wichita next Wednesday and Thursday. Two weeks from Wednesday and Thursday.
Yes.
Jesse Newell joins us from the Kansas City Star. How's your summer going, Jesse?
It's going all right. I'm enjoying that. It's not a crazy heat wave in a day like today. So yeah, it's nice when it's not just smoking hot.
We've had a pretty good summer. I am getting more and more excited about the coming football season. Of course, the Puka Williams situation, everybody's going to have an opinion about that. And is the punishment stout enough? What are the rumblings that you're hearing about that?
Well, I think like anybody else, I've sort of been following social media and what's happened online and, you know, sort of the national reaction to it. Obviously, there's been some people in high positions and top college football analysts and writers out there and even activists that have spoken on the matter. And, you know, to me, it's just difficult. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of folks about this today. It's such a difficult thing to talk about and to grasp and to really deal with. All of us love sports, I think, because a lot of these things take us away from real life and these sorts of issues that we want to deal with. But these sorts of things kind of put us right in the middle of it again. And especially with this sort of incident, you know, a domestic abuse charge, arrest and charge. And I think everybody wishes. I think media, I think, you know, coaches, players, teammates, fans, I think we all wish we had like black and white. I think we all wish we knew exactly what happened. It's just these shades of gray where you don't exactly know what happened. And then how do you deal with when you don't exactly know what happened? And how much punishment should there be when you don't exactly know what happened? And I think with this Puka Williams situation, that's really where you're at, because you kind of have to take all of this into account. And, you know, in today's Twitter world, you only get 280 characters. And I know some of the national people kind of jumped on this saying, well, hey, you know, Puka punched a woman in the stomach and grabbed her by the throat and he gets one game suspension. Well, you know, it's a little bit more nuanced than that. And I mean, I can go over it pretty quickly because I've been following this. I've been in every, you know, court that Puka has been in over the past few months. You know, I've been with this thing throughout the whole thing. And, you know, originally started with that charge in December when we pulled the arrest affidavit, and that is what the alleged victim accused Puka Williams of doing. The alleged victim accused him of punching her in the stomach and grabbing her by the throat. A couple months pass, and, you know, Puka has a lawyer representation. There's some talk about there being a diversion agreement, which means if he follows all the terms of this agreement, this domestic battery charge will be completely wiped off of his record. So, I mean, in the eyes of the law, he won't even be there anymore. But as it went on, and finally when he signed the diversion agreement, which, you know, he had to have no contact with the victim, 40 hours of community service, had to pay a small fine, all those sorts of things, he agrees to what is called a stipulation of facts. And basically he's saying, this is what I did in this incident, and I agree that I did. And if you read that carefully, and this is available online at the Kansas City Star with our story, with all the stories that we run, what he agreed that he did in that incident was he grabbed the alleged victim by the arms during an argument. He grabbed her, later grabbed her by the wrist to get her to come to the hall with him. And then as they continued to argue, he pushed her as he left. So, again, when we're talking about gray areas here, I mean, with the victim telling police that she got punched in the stomach and grabbed by the throat, and with Puka Williams, in the eyes of the law, agreeing that he, grabbed her by the arms, grabbed her by the wrist, and then pushed her. I mean, those are two completely separate stories. Those are two completely separate things. And so where does the truth lie in those things? To me, I anticipated that he would have suspension about two or three games before it all came down. And so the fact that Jeff Long, the athletic director for Kansas, came out and said, hey, this in the release yesterday, said this is inappropriate behavior, unacceptable for anybody, including somebody from KU Athletics. It seems to me like the school did take responsibility that Puka Williams did something wrong with this incident. But to suspend him one game, I think opened them to criticism, and justifiably so, opened them to criticism. And especially when you look at KU's schedule, and this is what you have to do because they didn't suspend him two or three games. They suspended him one game. Who is KU playing in week two? They're playing Coastal Carolina, and that is probably the biggest coin flip game on the schedule. And so now KU will have its best player for the Coastal Carolina game when it really needs him. So that to me is kind of how you want to look at this whole deal. And again, people have different opinions on this. I understand. And, you know, people can say, hey, you deserve a second chance. He's fine in the eyes of the law. Other people can look at this and say, hey, an alleged victim said that he did very serious things before this diversion agreement was signed, the stipulation of facts came out. And I can understand basically all those opinions. I just think it's very difficult to explain all that on the radio or on Twitter in a very, very short soundbite, and to come to a thinking conclusion that lets you know exactly where you should fall on this. To me, you know, the one game suspension seems a little light to me, but it was not out of the realm of possibility of what I thought might happen. And so Kansas is facing some backlash from that. I think some of that is warranted. And I think some of that makes you look at their schedule and say, yeah, they probably wanted Puka Williams back for that second game. And you can see that in rebuilding a football program and trying to get this thing running again, that sometimes these decisions are made, and that there are conflicts of interest when it comes to the University of Kansas and to what they want to do punishment-wise when somebody like this goes and has an action that they deem is inappropriate, and they have to take some action for them for what they did.
Jesse Newell, our guest from the Kansas City Star, he covers KU athletics. Jeff?
So does the suspension leading up to now, does that carry any weight? It's ultimately meaningless because they weren't playing games, but now that he's been suspended for one game, does this previous 7 months, does that mean anything?
That's a really good question. I think KU would say yes, and I think that Jeff Long mentioned that in the release, that he has been suspended from the team for 7 months. However, you know, again, like my personal opinion, I would probably say no. I think how you get people's attention is you take them out of competition. And yes, Puka Williams wasn't able to play in the spring game. He wasn't able to be around his teammates. He wasn't able to be around his coaches. But we're talking about an all Big 12 first teamer in two different positions, you know, freshman of the year in the conference. Like, they know what they got in him. I mean, he's going to catch up. He'll be fine, that sort of thing. And not only that, he probably missed some workouts. He probably is happy he missed on the way there. You know, I'm sure some of his teammates are like, what, you didn't have to run sprints here in the middle of August? Well, good for you. Or didn't have to run sprints in the middle of June, whatever the case may be. So, yeah, I guess that's difficult too. And, you know, I do want to be fair. A couple things. You know, being in the courtroom in these first appearances, these early appearances with Puka Williams, one of the things that was brought up a lot was that he had no previous criminal record. And so that is important. And that was important for him, you know, to have this come to a quicker resolution, because that is something you take into account. If you have a history of violence, if you have a history of arrests on your record, then all of a sudden people look at this a little bit differently. And he did not have that on his record. So this, you know, that played in his favor. Another thing, KU released yesterday that the Title IX office on campus, which investigates matters independently to make rulings to say if they want to keep these sorts of people, you know, these sorts, if they want to keep people on campus, or if they want to give sanctions to people on campus for what they did in these sorts of incidents. I thought KU Athletics did a pretty smart thing, is that they talked to Puka and they allowed this case, which usually is sealed, they allowed Puka allowed them to basically reveal that he is facing sanctions from the university as well. He's going to be on probation until he graduates. He has to go to a class, you know, to go into, I think this one was, you know, just sexual assault awareness sort of thing. So I think that was a smart move on KU's part. They didn't have to reveal kind of these other things that are happening to Puka outside of his diversion, but they did that as well. But again, the bottom line with this whole thing is, just that you're looking at this and you're saying, okay, if you're Kansas, where do you fall? You know, what do you do? Because if we're talking like Tyreek Hill and his situation, which is different, but at least the NFL has a commissioner, and he can look at all this and say, look, because you didn't do what is required of you in the NFL, I can suspend you even if you were not convicted in a court. Or just a little bit different is if you're KU, all of a sudden you're having people that are very involved with KU athletics trying to make this decision and this distinction of what do you do with Puka Williams? What should the severity of the penalty be when, again, all that is being taken care of in a law sense and from a school sense is happening outside the athletic department? So maybe not a totally unbiased party in that sense. And like I said, that might be the reason that his suspension was one game instead of three or one game instead of two. But it doesn't fall outside the realm of what I thought might happen. It just comes up maybe a little bit short of what I thought. And again, if we're being completely honest about this, maybe some of that is understandable because this is big time college athletics. I mean, I hate to keep repeating that, but that is sometimes what drives the train. And we know that Jeff Long and Les Miles and all of his staff, they were hired and brought into Kansas to do one thing, most importantly, and that's fix the football program. And KU can go a long way toward doing that if they have a better 2019 season, and they can go a lot further with that if they have a Puka Williams on the field, who obviously is their best offensive player. So, you know, you hate to be skeptical in these things, but that might have been a reality of what happened here. We'll never know, but that very well could be the case that got him a suspension a little bit lighter than what many people would have thought he would have gotten.
Talking with Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star about the Puka Williams situation at Kansas. And one thing that's always interested me in my long journalistic career, I don't know how well we as journalists can get to know the character or personalities of the athletes we cover. We get a glimpse into them. But really, the ones who know Puka Williams the best are his teammates. What do you think their perception of him is? Is he a popular teammate at KU? Is that even a viable topic? Is that even relatable?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And from all the people we talked to last year about him, and you know, full disclosure here, KU has a policy of not allowing freshmen to talk to the media. So Puka has not talked. We have not talked to Puka yet. You know, so he had an All Big 12 type of season. It's the old Johnny Manziel rule that David Beatty brought from Texas A&M back in the day when he was an assistant there. So I've never talked to him, just to be completely frank with you. But from talking to teammates, seems like a happy-go-lucky kid. I mean, they seem to like him. He seems to be respected. I know David Beatty talked a lot about him and not basically being too big for his britches. Is kind of the old saying out there, you know, not coming into the room and acting like he's the best player, even though obviously he was the best player for Kansas. And like you said, you know, there's part of me too that has to speak to basically ask if any of this is relevant at all. Because once again, if we assume the worst, which we can't because we're talking about this gray area here, then, you know, a lot of that probably shouldn't matter. It shouldn't matter if you're a good person 90% of the time, but the other 10%, you're doing things that are outside the law and are destructive to other people. But again, that's not something definitively we can say based off of what we know with this. We know that there was an accusation that he did something, and there was also a stipulation of facts he agreed to that he basically agreed to something else. So without definitive knowledge of this, and I would have to assume that the Douglas County District Attorney's Office looked at this case, and we know, you're innocent until proven guilty. I mean, for him to have an aversion in this, with this sort of charge, I would have to think that they probably were in the same sort of boat to think that it's going to be very difficult to prove this case beyond a reasonable doubt if there just isn't much evidence there in the form of just hard evidence. So, again, it makes this difficult to talk about. It makes this difficult to know exactly what to say in the situation. But from all indications, Puka Williams seems to be a guy among teammates that is well-liked, but having a one-game suspension for this, again, we'll see what happens with the program. We'll see if the national reaction continues, but one thing we know for sure, he's going to be out there for game two against Coastal Carolina, and that's going to be a very, very important game for Kansas as they try to rebuild their football program.
So, Jesse, how does this decision, a one-game suspension, reflect on Les Miles? I mean, you can't really be a coach at this level of college football without running into some kind of incident like this during the course of your career. But he's been criticized for how he handled Jeremy Hill at LSU a few years ago, and now here's a one-game suspension kind of in one of his first acts as coach. What kind of an impression does this make?
Yeah, I think it continues what the perception is. And again, it's a little tougher with Les Miles because I think that when there are some national media members out there who comment on these things, I feel like he's been around the game long enough that if you like Les Miles, you like Les Miles. And if you don't like Les Miles, you don't like Les Miles. You know what I mean? Like your opinion on what he does here is going to be based off of decades or years of having to deal with Les Miles and what your interactions with him have been previously. And the one you mentioned with Jeremy Hill is kind of the most popular one where, you know, I believe that's the one where Les Miles put up to a team vote whether he got back on the team. And so I've seen that brought up. You know, obviously I've heard from a lot of K-State fans who want to, you know, make the comparison here to the Risen situation, the wide receiver who left the program after, you know, some off-season, off-field problems here lately. So it is difficult for him because it does, I think, continue the perception. And as we mentioned, Les Miles, you would think, had a say in this. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's Jeff Long's responsibility. I know he probably talked to the chancellor with it, but especially if it's a lighter punishment or one that I would consider lighter, it just doesn't reason that Les Miles is not in this conversation. And it doesn't reason that he doesn't know who his best football player is. And it doesn't reason that he doesn't know that KU, if it's going to have its closest game of the season, it's probably going to be Coastal Carolina in week 2. So, like I said, that's the path that you're led down because it's a shorter suspension. But I mean, these are the things that universities weigh every single day and athletic programs weigh every single day. They're taking a little bit of a PR hit now, and Les Miles is taking a little bit of a PR hit now. But we know how this goes. I mean, this will be in the news cycle for a few days. It'll go away. And then, like I said, you know, I just read an article on 538 from 2014 a couple days ago, and they talked about how one victory for FBS programs back in 2014, one victory could result, they approximated about $750,000 worth of revenue for a Division I program. And you would think 5 years later, it's probably only gone up since then. I mean, this is a big business. And so you have to weigh what's going to happen and public outcry and what you think is the right thing to do. And you also have to weigh that these guys were brought in for many millions of dollars to win football games. And so it's, like I said, it's a difficult topic to broach. It's a difficult thing to talk about. It's difficult to know people's true intentions throughout this whole thing. But like I said, if KU is admitting that Puka Williams did something wrong and admitting that his actions were unacceptable, to have a one-game suspension, they open themselves up to criticism for us to talk on the radio and to talk nationally and to talk on social media about, was this punishment, did it fit the crime, was it severe enough, was this enough of a message sent to not only Puka Williams but to his teammates and to those people on campus that this sort of behavior is not going to be condoned. The reason we're talking about that is because it's a one-game suspension, and that's a choice that KU very consciously made. So now that's something they're going to have to live with.
Final moments with Jesse Newell, KU beat writer for the Kansas City Star. And the reason I said that I'm looking forward to the college football season doesn't really connect to Puka Williams, but it does connect to Les Miles. Recruiting seems to be going well. He's tweeting out a lot about, here come the Jayhawks. That's his phrase. That's what he's become known for now on Twitter. What precipitates one of those here come the Jayhawks tweets? Just a thought process? I haven't done that today? Or is there always something in the recent past that maybe causes him to think, now would be a good time to remind people that here come the Jayhawks?
Yeah, here come the Jayhawks is the new version of Neat Deal. If you remember Neat Deal with David Beatty, that was always the hashtag when he had just gotten a recruit. And so it was kind of the code word for, hey, the KU football program got some good news. And for Les Miles, that's here come the Jayhawks. And in this instance, they're actually already working on the 2021 class, it looks like.
I saw that.
Magic Rector, M-A-J-I-K. So at least on the all-name team, if nothing else. But a receiver from Lancaster, Texas, looks like he had some interest from schools like Texas Tech. But like I said, 2021 class, non-binding recruitment. But it definitely looks to be another guy that Emmett Jones, he's the former wide receivers coach for Texas Tech. He's been KU, one of KU's ace recruiters since he got on campus with Les Miles here a few months ago. Seems like this is another one of those guys that he helped bring in. And like I said, you continue the recruiting momentum for KU football. We'll see how many of these guys stick, but this is a lot more good news when it comes to recruiting in the program than what we've seen in the recent past with David Beatty and his staff. So I think it only can be considered a good thing at this point.
Fascinating stuff. We always appreciate your time. Continue to have a good summer. A football season right around the corner, Jesse. Thanks for being with us.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. We'll talk to another longtime newspaper guy, Barry Trammell from the Daily Oklahoman, get his thoughts on the NBA and what happens with Russell Westbrook. That's next. The Drive on KFH.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.